Blog Talk Radio.
Father,
I just pray right now that you would just impart a baptism of fire to the pioneers, for those who would go ahead, for those who are brave and courageous and are going to take steps to go ahead. Lord, I pray that you would baptize them in your spirit and baptize them in fire. Lord, we know that we've walked by the fire so many times we've walked by. But we just want to state to you today that we're not walking by the fire today, but we're walking into the fire. We're walking into the center of the fire.
Praise God. I want to say hello to everybody out there today. Hello. Hello, everybody. This is your brother in Christ in California, where the weather difference is like 40 degrees. One day, well, in the morning it's really cold, and then during the day it's really hot. And my spiritual walk with the Lord has been fluctuating like that, just like this weather. Oh my, my brothers and sisters, is your walk with the Lord fluctuating more than that you feel that it should be because of our doubt and unbelief and pride and our sinful nature? Let us repent in Jesus' name. Lord, we repent of our doubt and unbelief and pride and our evil hearts, our evil imaginations, and Lord, being blinded by pride and evil. Lord, we apologize for hurting your feelings, Lord, and we repent of our grievous sins, Lord. And let us please realize how grievous sin is, Lord. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, teach us. Holy Spirit, guide us to the truth. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence right now. Brother Chance, let's listen to a praise song. Let's listen to file number 3, Baruch Haba Ruach Elohim. Welcome, Spirit of God. It's in Hebrew and in English. Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit wants to comfort you at this time. Lord, we pray for those that are in pain today. We pray for those that are in distress. We pray for those that are cold and hungry. We pray for those that are empty, Lord. We pray for those that are fatherless, Lord. We pray for those that are widowed, Lord. We pray for those that are lost, Lord. Have mercy on your creation, Lord. In agreement as a bride of Christ, we pray for those that need you desperately. Lord, we need you desperately, Lord. Lord, have mercy, Lord. In agreement, we pray all together, Lord, throughout the world. Lord, have mercy on your creation that needs you desperately. Lord, please hear their cry, Lord. And move for them, Lord, quickly, Lord. Hallelujah. May your will be done, not ours. And if it's according to your timing, Lord, help us to wait whenever that may be. Lord, have mercy on the lost. Lord, have mercy on the fatherless, Lord. Have mercy for those that are sad. Have mercy, Lord, that are weak. Have mercy that are injured. Have mercy, Lord, on the brokenhearted. Have mercy that are lonely. Have mercy on those that are having financial difficulties. Have mercy on the sick, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, have mercy. Your mercy, Lord, and your love, your goodness endures forever, according to your own holy words. And we hold on to your words in complete faith, in hope, and in confidence, O Lord. Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters, if you're hurting anywhere, Lord, please give it to the Lord. Be honest to the Lord. You need to be transparent before the Lord. He already knows what you're going through. Just ask for His help. Trust Him. Respect Him as a real being that loves you. Act upon Him. Have a relationship with Him as if He is right next to you. Because He's closer than next to us. He is in us. Hallelujah. He is in you. Do you believe in the Lord? Do you confess that He came to die for us, and He came in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, God, the Word Himself, the Son of God? Do you believe that? You have the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Please help us and lead us and guide us, Lord, to be even closer as one with you. We pray for those that lost peace in their hearts, that has lost peace in their lives, in their daily lives, Lord. And Lord, when people are going through distresses, let them know that they need to run to you, not to friends, not to other avenues of relieving stress or running away from the reality. Let them straight run into your arms, Lord. And let them have the faith they need for them to give all sorts of situations to you that you may handle our situations in our lives. Hallelujah. Because you, Lord, you are a God of redemption. You are a God of restoration. You will save us oh Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that salvation. Thank you, Lord, that you will save us. You will rescue us. You will redeem us. We trust in your holy words. We trust in your holy promises. Hallelujah. And Lord, we wait upon you. Whenever that is, we wait upon your timing, because you don't want anyone to perish, but have eternal life through your Holy Son, the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ, Rabbi Yeshua himself. Hallelujah. If you believe and confess that he's your Lord and Savior, ask him to forgive your sins. Then it's done. It's amazing. The promise in the Word of God, let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, is infallible, is incorruptible. It is holy, holy, holy Word of God. Trust in his promises according to his words. Amen. And are you having time of trouble? Are you having time where it's hard to praise the Lord? You need to ask the Lord to put back the melody in your hearts. Let us praise the Lord once again. Brother Chance, it's file number one, melody back in our hearts.
Those of you who have lost your desire to sing, I'm asking God to put that melody back in your heart tonight. Cause you to lift your voice and sing to him, even though you don't understand. Praise him tonight. Hallelujah. You're good, Lord. You're good. And you're good all the time.
Praise the Lord. Lord, your mercy endures forever. We thank you for that, Lord. Lord, have mercy on the lost, Lord, please. But we also pray for the law enforcement in California. And we also pray for that fugitive that's killed a couple people running away in the woods, wherever he is, Lord. We pray that fugitive don't kill anyone no more. And Lord, you love everybody, Lord. We pray that he gives his life to you, Lord. And Lord, please pour out your Holy Spirit so that that person, that killer, Lord, could repent and give his life to you, Lord. Holy Spirit, don't be grieved, please. Hallelujah. Give him a chance to surrender his life to you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My brothers and sisters, I had a conversation with my uncle, and he says that we get used to things. This is what he said. In heaven, he'll get used to it, so he'll get sick of it. In hell, he'll get used to 1,000 degrees, and then once in a while it cools down to 950, then I'll be relieved. So he'll get used to anywhere he goes. So I'm listening to this, and my goodness, he knows there's a God, and he knows the Word of God. He's read it before. But it's coming from a person that thinks that, oh, even in the hell, there's a community, and he'll get used to the heat. I said, why in the world would you want to get used to the fire? A burning fire. Why wouldn't you want to get used to heaven? And basically, that's what he said. And I have more people that I talk to once they finally open up. I come across a lot of new age people that do know that there is a God, but there is no personal relationship. Hence, they could live a life without a responsibility. That's what they believe. That's why they live in a certain way. But my brothers and sisters, the Word of God is infallible. Every word of God is God-breathed. And the Word says God cannot lie. And the Word of God says, every word you say, any action, inaction we have done, anything we've done in our lives will be put on the table that day. And we will be judged. Bema Seat of Christ, and on the White Throne Judgment. There is a consequence for every action that we take. Every word we say, every sin we've commit, there are consequences. My brothers and sisters, when we read the Word of God, it is clear that the Lord teaches us what goes around comes around. He teaches us the law of sowing and reaping. I want to take you guys to Judges chapter 1. Let me turn to Judges chapter 1. Ah, Jesus. Lord have mercy. Judges, I'm going getting there. Just one second. Turning my Bible. Judges is after Ephesians. Just kidding. I have some kids at church that they turn to Ephesians at church. You know, nowadays most people don't read the Bible. It's so sad. Judges chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Only 7 verses, okay? Now, the key person here is a king named Adoni Bezek. That's one name with a dash in the middle. Okay, here we go. I'm going to read it to you guys. Judges chapter 1, verse 1 through 7. Now, after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand. And Judah said unto Simeon, his brother, excuse me, come up with me into my lot, that we may fight against the Canaanites, and I likewise will go with thee into thy lot. So Simeon went with him. And Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand. And they slew of them in Bezek 10,000 men. And they found Adoni Bezek in Bezek. So he's probably the leader in Bezek, because his name is Adoni Bezek, named after him. And they fought against him. And they slew the Canaanites and the Perizzites. But Adoni Bezek fled, okay, he ran away, and they pursued after him, and caught him, and cut off his thumbs and his great toes. And Adoni Bezek said, 70 kings, which is 70 kings, okay? Adoni Bezek said, 70 kings, having their thumbs and their great toes cut off, gathered their meat under my table as I have done. So God has requited me. And they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died. Now, this is, I'm reading the King James, but I want to reword it to you so that it's easy for you to understand. Okay? Now, so the Lord delivered, okay, Bezek, people of Bezek, including the Adoni Bezek, the leader there, okay? And basically he was captured and his thumb was cut off, and his great toes, the biggest toes, okay, was cut off. Now, I want to tell you, my brothers and sisters, I used to play basketball one day a week, okay, and I'm not playing anymore. Do you know why? It's because I injured my thumb a few weeks ago. I was guarding this guy, and then he was throwing the ball really hard, and he threw the ball, and his arm landed on my thumb. So it was pushed back, and so it was swollen. It was I had internal bleeding and all that, you know. So I couldn't use the thumb. Now it's getting better, but it still hurts. But when I hurt my thumb, my brothers and sisters, I could not even open the door. I couldn't even hold on to the doorknob. It hurt that much. Okay. So, and back then, if you're a warrior, if your thumb is injured or cut off, you cannot hold the sword. Okay. And if you know any of the sword fighting, steps are very, very important. The timing of it. When you cut off the great toes, you have less agility, leverage, and strength, because only of the little ones are supporting your weight. So basically, when you cut your thumb off and your big toes off, or if it's injured, you cannot do anything. Okay, even when you try to hold a pen, you cannot. Okay, so that's what I went through. That's what I'm going through right now, and I want to tell you, Adoni Bezek, he cut off the thumbs and the great toes of 70 kings that he's conquered. 70. And you know what he did? He had them probably sit under his table, and if the crumbs fall off from his food, those kings would pick it up like a dog. Okay? So that's what he did. And Judah and Simeon, okay, so Judah went up, and Adoni Bezek was caught, and his thumbs and his great toes was cut off. And this is what he said, verse 7. Adoni Bezek said, "I have cut off 70 kings' thumbs and great toes, and God has paid back what as I have done." This is his words, okay? And brought him to Jerusalem. There he died. So we know, my brothers and sisters, from the word of God, what goes around comes around. Okay. Now, amongst the bride of Christ, we've had situations where I would get an email out of the blue, just criticizing somebody, you know, and condemning somebody, that all this evil content in the email. I get that once in a while. Okay. But let me tell you what. World, listen up. If you stab somebody in the back, you will be stabbed in the back. If you cut off somebody's toes and their thumbs, your thumb and your toes will be cut off. Who will make sure? The Lord Himself will make sure that. Okay? It's in the Word of God. And He hasn't complained about it, because He said in verse 7, God has brought this back unto me as I have done. My brothers and sisters, what are you doing to the brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you supporting one another? Are you praying for one another? Are you loving one another? Or are you stabbing somebody? Are you scratching somebody? Are you pinching somebody? Or are you punching somebody? Okay? Are you breaking their bones? The Word of God says, your bones will be broken if you break other people's bones. very, very serious, my brothers and sisters. It is high time. We live according to the word of God. It is high time that we fear God. Because there will be one day in the white throne judgment, everything we've done, every little secret thing we have done, it shall be accountable, and he will ask you, why have you done this? And he will judge you according to his truth and his righteousness, because he is a righteous judge. That day is coming, my brothers and sisters. And some say, what judgment? They die and it's done. Not really. Then do you feel that Hitler or those people of the communist regime, they killed millions of people, will there be same consequences with other people? Not really. There is a price for everything, my brothers and sisters. And for the bride of Christ, your work in the Lord is not in vain. Please read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Your work in the Lord is not in vain. And also on the other hand, everything that you and I do, there is a price for every action we make throughout the day. My brothers and sisters, there is a price. Will it be a reward or will it be judgment, my brothers and sisters? Fear the Lord. Let me read you Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the duty of all mankind. My brothers and sisters, you and I, we need to fear God more. And our God we serve is a merciful God. He's a God of mercy and grace and love that's endless, but that doesn't mean we take advantage of it. That doesn't mean we take it for granted. That doesn't mean in our crafty ways that we don't use that as leverage against God out of disobedience. We do not do that. What do? We ought to fear God more than we do today. My brothers and sisters, by the breath of his nostrils, we could all freeze to death. Okay? Look at the grounds. Okay? There is a community of ants living underneath that soil. My brothers and sisters, according to the size of God, we are smaller than the ants' little secretion that comes out from their mouth. They're small, right? We're smaller than that. But my brothers and sisters, with our small member, especially our tongue, our tongues are a world of iniquity. We say things that are so evil, and we catch ourselves. We say something very evil. And then when the Holy Spirit teaches us, it's like, oh my Lord, what am I talking about? We need to control what we say, especially out of a bad temper or something happened. Please be careful what you say. You can curse others, and you can also curse yourself, my brothers and sisters. fear God. Fear God. Do you want to be a wise person, my brothers and sisters? According to the holy word of God, we need to fear the Lord. And I want to read you Matthew chapter 5, verse 19. Oh, this is a very serious word. Matthew chapter 5, verse 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven, but whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. I have a quiz for you guys. Me being here, sharing with you guys through the power of the Holy Spirit, do you think that I'm better than you? I did before. I thought I was better than everybody before. Okay, I did. This is what the Lord has rebuked me here. I was breaking one of the least commandments, and I was teaching. I'm talking to you now. So I want to share with you, you know who I am? I am the least in the kingdom of heaven. How scary is that? But that's the truth. And I'm repenting. I repent. And you know what? I sin again, and I repent again. And sometimes it's hard to repent, because I have demons tormenting me because of my sins. And then finally, I pray in repentance prayer, and then I ask the Lord to extricate the demonic being affecting my life in any way. And yesterday, and I kept on praying after that. Let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, because of our sins, we get attacked. Okay? It's not because we do something right. Let me repeat again, my brothers and sisters. Lord has taught me this through the Holy Spirit and also through Brother Elvie. When we get attacked from the enemy, we usually say, we must be doing something right. But my brothers and sisters, what the Lord has taught me is that we are doing something wrong. Period. No buts. I've never heard this before. But this is what the Lord has taught me to share with you once again. If you get attacked, and I do, well, Job is an exception, okay? So maybe there's another Job in 2013 out there, so this does not apply to everybody. And I know for a fact that when the scribes and Pharisees said, Lord, this boy was born blind. So he must have the sin on him. Okay? But the Lord said that for the glory of God that he has this infirmity. So there are exceptions. Don't get me wrong, okay? But in most cases, I think that's one out of like million. Okay? But my brothers and sisters, it is safer to say that I've done something wrong than to say that I must be doing something right, then you know what? That could conceive pride, my brothers and sisters. So why go to dangerous, risky way? If you are one of the Jobs in the Bible, if you are one of those blinded for the glory of the kingdom of God, If you are, then, you know, okay, this is not for you. But most of us, okay, when we get attacked because we have sinned. And we unknowingly sin. And there are generational curses as well. Okay? So my brothers and sisters, when you and I get attacked, for example, when you have been getting back to God, trying to ask Him, you know, asking Him restored things and trying to be more intimate with Him, yeah, sure, you'll be under the radar, of course. Okay? I know people that backslide, they usually sometimes, a lot of times they feel like, hey, my life is okay. You know, they don't get attacked too much in a way because they're not under the radar. That can be true. But for sure, unrepented sin creates an open door that gives the demons and the fallen angels a legal right to hurt you. Because the judgment has been set and the wage of sin is death. Okay? And the Word of God says, if you think that sinning is not that bad, you got to read the latter part of Deuteronomy chapter 28 from verse 15. Okay? Very, very scary. If you start reading Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 through 14 is the blessings out of obedience. And I believe from 15 to maybe like 60 verses, somewhere around there, I'm not sure. It's a lot of verses. It's the consequences of sin, disobedience. Let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, if you read it, the conclusion is that you'll be messed up, okay? Sinning. When we say grievous sins, sin is actually extremely, extremely grievous because the price of sinning is death. The wage of sin is death. So if you're getting attacked in any way, okay, there are things that need to be dealt with the Lord, that let Him ask the Lord to reveal to you, why am I still getting attacked? Okay, there are many ways of getting attacked. We don't really have to talk about it. Okay. And I have read Matthew 5:19 because I want to confess to you, I am the least in the kingdom. Why? Because I see myself breaking the least of these commandments. I'm sharing with you guys, and I'm sharing with the youth high school students at the church I'm serving. So I'm the least in the kingdom of God. You know what I thought out of my pride? Oh, I should be in the third level of heaven. You know, that's what I thought. Oh, I'm fasting. I'm doing this for the Lord. I'm doing that for the Lord. You know, I'm reading this much. I'm praying for others. And I'm helping out the poor. You know, all those things could build up pride. And we end up breaking the least of His commandments. So be very careful. Teachers out there in the world, please be very, very, very careful. And I've met more pastors that have so much pride today. I've met leaders of the Church of God, supposedly. They teach pride in church. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. We really need to walk in humility. Pride only gets you to hell. And the Word of God says, can you make yourself 1 foot taller? Can you make one white hair black? My brothers and sisters, we cannot. Where is all this pride coming from then? How come we all have pride? You know why? We have an evil, fallen nature. We are sinning factories. Okay? If you don't realize that, then you try not to sin, and you will find yourself sinning. You know what? It'll be so bad, you yourself will make yourself very sick through your own actions and words and your thoughts and your intentions. That's why the Lord said, ask me to help you remove the logs out of your own eyes so you can clearly see the speck of the brother's eye. So when I get those emails condemning other people, it's really, really sad. Because is that the fruit of the Spirit? Is that the fruit of love? For example, if a man of God or a woman of God did do something wrong in front of others, whatever, right? Then if you are a child of God, rather than sending emails of condemnation, wouldn't it be better to pray for that person? Hey, brothers and sisters, I feel like we need to really pray for that person because we're not seeing what we want to see, whatever the situations are. If you are a child of God, wouldn't you really pray for that person then? Rather than stabbing people's backs through words? Oh, it is so sad, my brothers and sisters. Is that truly fearing the Lord? My brothers and sisters, today, have you lived a life where you fear the Lord? I was sitting at church last Sunday, and basically the message was this. Father God gave his one and only son to die for you on the cross. This is what he said on the pulpit. And he said, because Father God gave his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to die for you, because you are so valuable, you must be a star. This is what he said in the pulpit, okay? This is last Sunday. And I was like, oh my Lord, what's he talking about, Lord? I'm sorry for listening to false teaching. And this is prior to this. Lord, why are you having me come here? And the Lord says, you need to stand in the gap. Pray for mercy. Pray for more mercy so that I am ever more merciful to them, to give them more chance to repent. So that's my mission. Okay? So it's sort of like a special mission where if you're listening to the false teaching, then you're going to be tainted. And the Lord actually has me repent at the same time. But what he does as a special assignment is that he has me stand in the gap for that pastor and that congregation. It's like, you know, it's pretty special in a way. Not in a prideful way, but kind of unique. Okay. That's my calling for those days. Okay. And so I heard Father God loves you and I, loves us so much to give his one and only son because you must be a star. And you know what he said at the end? You are a star. And basically he's saying that I'm a star. Okay? You know what's a star? Who was a morning star? Lucifer. Okay? You know what he thought? He still thinks he's all bad, right? Guess what happened? He wanted to take in the place of God. He got kicked out. Okay? Where is he going? Lake of fire. Okay? Okay, now. So I heard the pastor saying, you are so special. Not even one word of repentance takes away the glory of Christ, put it on their own heads. Right? Guess what? I was sitting there. Oh, my Lord. What do you want me to do, Lord? I'm sorry to listen to this false teaching. False teaching, Lord, why are you making me stay here? Lord, I haven't gotten the signal from you to leave this place. And the Lord himself says to me, my son, you stand in the gap for that man and this congregation that I don't strike him dead now. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? My Lord, our Lord was mad. Because there's so many pastors out there stealing the glory of Jesus Christ, put the crowns on their own heads, that they cannot make their own hair white or black or brown, blonde, red, blue, green, blue, whatever. And the Lord says to me, I was so scared of God that, Lord, I said, Lord, I stand in the gap for that man. Lord, please, I loose his sins on the earth so that his sins may be loosed on the heavens as well, according to your holy word. Please give him a chance to repent. Lord, please be merciful. He says, the Lord says, continue to pray in the gap so that I don't strike him dead now. Wow. I went through that last Sunday. You know how scary that was? Wow, very, very scary. And I have a breakfast with the uncle. I think it was yesterday. Yeah, yesterday. And he says, I think I could get used to hell. He's like, what are you talking about? You know, the more and more I see the world, we see the world drifting away from the Lord. My brothers and sisters, if the Lord came last year, where will those people go? If the mark of the beast is enforced, they would get it. Because they don't believe the word of God. Literally. They say that, oh, man wrote this. So hopefully the parts where it's talking about judgment, hopefully that's wrong. Hopefully God says later after he died that, oh, that was wrong. That was written by man. That was twisted by man. I'm a God of love. There's no judgment. Oh, take it easy. You had a good life. Or you had a tough life. Take it easy. No. That's what people, unbelieving people that know the word of God, they don't literally accept the word. They twist it or they doubt the word of God and live a life of irresponsibility, a real irresponsible life. Okay? And the pastors need to fear the Lord. If one truly fears the Lord, that could put your body and soul in hell, would someone say, there's no need of repentance, and you are a star, which means I am the head of you guys, so I am a bigger star, and says, in Jesus' name, we pray, amen. What is that? It is so shocking what is preached throughout the pulpits. I wanted to leave that church so bad, but the Lord is having me pray in the gap, stand in the gap for those people. Pray for those. My brothers and sisters, do you see anybody lost? Do you see so-called Christians? People say, I'm a Christian, but their fruit of the Spirit is not the Holy Spirit, but is of the evil spirit. Rather than you turn away and, man, you know, I'm never getting close to that person. Of course, you should stay away, but don't just stop there, but you need to pray for them. Stand in the gap for them that, this is what I do. Lord, please be merciful to that man or that woman. Be merciful. Give him one more chance to repent. Turn his life back to you, Lord. Or her life back to you. Give him one more chance to repent. My brothers and sisters, we need to constantly pray for those that are lost, Lord, please give them one more chance to repent. Because my brothers and sisters, heaven and hell is real. Whenever that day is, the trumpet sound. Whenever that day is, in the white throne judgment. Whatever we do, whatever we say, whatever actions, whatever inactions will be taken into account. And he will lay it on top of the table. That day is coming, my brothers and sisters. The whole duty of man is to fear God, who can put the both body and soul in hell forever. My brothers and sisters, this is very, very serious. Fear the Lord. If you feared the Lord, could you backstab somebody? If you fear the Lord, would you live a life of the fruit of the evil spirit, or would it be the Holy Spirit? Would you live a life in love, or would you live a life of hate, in hate? It's only two ways, my brothers and sisters. It's either heaven or hell. It's either life or death. It's either kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, or the lake of fire. And we as a bride of Christ, we wait for the trumpet sound. We wait. Do we have a choice? No. I've had many situations where, Lord, I don't think I could be on the Lord's hour anymore. I don't think. Maybe I should call LV. But the Lord reminds me, I am not my own. I am Lord Jesus Christ's property. Okay, you know what that means? Whatever that we are going through, if you are the property of Jesus Christ, if you are his possession, that whatever you go through is his too. So he will help you, my brothers and sisters. Because I am the possession of the Lord Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, you are a possession of Jesus Christ. Okay? We have no choice on our own calls of our lives, because it is bought at a price through his holy blood that was shed on the cross for our sins, our grievous sins. The consequence of our sins was death, but he died for us. He tasted death for you and I, my brothers and sisters. So we can respect him, we believe on him, and we wait for him. Will you wait for the Lord no matter what, my brothers and sisters? The Lord is asking you right now, will you wait for me, my child? Will you wait for me? Or will you go back to sin? Lord, forgive us our sins. And we wait for you whenever that may be. Brother Chance, please play file number 2, please. I'll be back.
We wait. We're not in a hurry. All we need, you know. We wait. All our cares and worries, we lay aside. Oh, hey. into your presence, Lord. And as we fill this house with praise,
let your holy fire,
let your holy fire fill this place.
Today, if you will hear his voice, as the Holy Spirit says, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 13 through 18. Hebrews 2:13-18. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God has given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus Christ is so good. For verse 18, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. My brothers and sisters, whatever you're going through, Lord Jesus Christ can relate to what you're going through, my brothers and sisters. Are you going through any temptation? The Lord Jesus Christ can relate to that. God himself came in the flesh as man. You know what? As I was always listening to the audio Bible, I was also I was listening to it, and I was always curious, why would Jesus call himself Son of Man? I didn't get it. Now I do. God himself, he humbled himself in obedience to the Father. Because he's also a Son of Man, he can relate to what we are going through. Whatever you go through, he understands. Because he came as man. He humbled himself to die for us and also to be a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. To make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Wow. He humbled himself, so he becomes our merciful and faithful high priest. My brothers and sisters, that's why we pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That is amazing. And you know what? After this, brothers and sisters, please read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Okay? If the Lord Jesus Christ didn't die for us, and if he wasn't raised from the dead, the Word of God says we would still be in our sins. And only way after we die is death. Second death, lake of fire. But he gave his life for us. And also, he became a Son of Man that he understands what you are going through, my brothers and sisters. My Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, understands whatever you're going through more than anybody out there in the world. So why go to man or woman? Why? Don't do that. Run to the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who can understand what you are going through, and that gave his very own life for you and I on the cross, that we may live with him forever. What a beautiful story, my brothers and sisters. Run to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't run to man. You hear a word from man, don't go to another man for confirmation. Go to the Lord. Okay? Let's say that we are sheep, okay, in a sheep farm, okay? And the shepherd, the owner, tells the sheep what to do and all, you know, there's instructions, okay? Instead of going back to the shepherd, oh, Lord, what did you say? Did you want me to do this and that? Okay, if that sheep goes to another sheep, hey, Baba, his name is Baba, okay? Hey, Baba, what do you think about him? What do you think our boss said? You know what? I think this is what it means, because my name is Baba. And I am the head of this sheep. You know? This is what's going on in the churches, isn't it? I'm the boss, Baba. You know what? A sheep is a sheep. Sheep is not a shepherd, my brothers and sisters. Only one true good shepherd is our Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that will fill you with his love and peace and joy, eternal life. Living water running from your belly. Run to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one good shepherd. He is the one and only true rabbi. Rabbi Jesus Yeshua HaMashiach of Nazareth. He loves you very much. He cares about you. He totally understands what you're going through. And He always goes to the Father on your behalf and our behalf. What a merciful God we serve. He's so beautiful. He's so merciful. Let me tell you this before I finish today. Okay? Because we're going to listen to Chu Thomas's testimony after this. Let me tell you what. If the Lord Jesus Christ was all about his life, about him getting married, taking care of himself, my brothers and sisters, we bride of Christ would have already made it to heaven through the trumpet sound. But why has it sounded yet? He's a merciful God. He doesn't want anybody to perish. He will sacrifice, okay? He will make his wedding day wait a little so that another soul can be saved from the pit of fire into heaven, into his house. Wouldn't he do it? Brothers and sisters, understand the love and mercy of the Lord. He is a merciful God. But I want to warn you, my brothers and sisters in the world, don't take his love and mercy for granted. Do not abuse his love and mercy and grace. Do not use it as a leverage against him to live whatever you want. No more. Let us stop that nonsense. Let us please him who gave his life on the cross for us. Let us not please the devil anymore. Do you know why it's pleasing him? Because he'll have more people with him in the lake of fire. That's it. And that hurts God too. So my brothers and sisters, run to the Lord Jesus Christ because he cares for you. He understands everything that you're going through more than anybody. And he can only solve your problems. Not man, not woman, not money. Nothing like that, okay? Trust in him. Watch him restore you. Watch him open up new doors. Watch him lead your life that you have never, ever imagined so you can be more of a blessing to others. May the Lord bless you. Run to the Lord. He's waiting on you, my brothers and sisters. Take care. We're going to listen to Chu Thomas, and I'll be back next week, okay? File number 5, Brother Chance. God bless you.
Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing me to testify. Hallelujah. I become Christian since in 1992, and I really fell in love with Jesus after I went to church a few times. And I wanted to give every my being to him the rest of my life. And I want to speak briefly about a book called Heavenly Story. The Lord Jesus himself took me to heaven 17 times with my transformed body. Like when I was 15 or 16 years old. Before this, he prepared everything step by step. 1994, he anointed me, my entire body, with holy fire. Then about a month later, he showed me with his visible presence at the church during worship service. Then 1995, Easter Sunday, he anointed me with a shaking body. And ever since, my body shakes at the church during my prayer time. You see, my body is moving back and forth right now. If I don't do this, my stomach gets very tight. And it feels like exploding. That's why I'm moving back and forth. So, please don't think anything wrong with my body. that the Holy Spirit is doing this. Because I am talking about Jesus, that's why. And then, after this, He baptized me with the Holy Spirit. With a new tongue. Having a song, Holy Laughter. And I was so anointed for 3 hours. And I was on the floor. I couldn't get up. Because it was too powerful. After that, a few months later, Pastor Larry Randolph, he prophesied for me. That he told me that God wants to use me in such a special way. And all his prophetic words came true 1,000 times more. And after this, January 1996, Lord Jesus, He was visiting me with His visible presence, and He visited me for 10 times to tell me how He was going to use and all the things His plans, and He was telling me about it. It's in the book. But He didn't tell me He wanted to take me to heaven. So after 10 times, February 1996, He began to take me to heaven with my transformed body, like His spirit body, my body. Each time before He took me to heaven, He brought me to the beach, Ultra Beach. The very first time before He took me to heaven, He took me to one side of a beach. He showed me small body of water, crystal clear. Then He showed me huge, shiny tunnel. So after that, He took me to heaven.
After going through the tunnel, Chu writes, "The Lord and I walked along the road that came down from the top of the hill. Eventually, we reached a huge white gate that stood in front of a large white building. We walked through the gate and proceeded towards the white building. We entered and walked down a long corridor that led to a very large room, which we entered. As I looked down, I realized for the first time that I was wearing a different robe than I had on the beach, and I could feel something heavy was resting on my head. I reached up and discovered a beautiful crown had been placed there, without my realizing it. Then I looked directly at the Lord. He was sitting on a throne, and He wore a radiant gown and a golden crown. Others were there with me, kneeling on the floor and prostrating themselves before Him. The walls of the room were made of large, shiny stones that glowed, and the multicolored rocks provided an effect that made the room seem warm and happy, as well as mysterious. Then, just as quickly as I had been transported up the mountain and into the white building, I found myself on the beach again."
Very first time, He only showed me His throne room. Then after that, we came down from heaven, and we were sitting on the sand on Ultra Beach. And then He began to talk. He said, "We just went to Kingdom of Heaven. Only one will come there are obedient and pure-hearted." And He say, "Preaching gospel is very important." And He waited for a while. He say, "Those who don't tithe, they are disobedient Christians." That was the last word He say, the first trip.
Chu went on to visit heaven 16 more times. In each of these visits, she writes, "In my transformed body, I walked with the Lord on the beach, and then He escorted me to heaven. We walked through the pearly gates and went to the white building to change our clothing. After changing, we walked across the Golden Bridge. It all was becoming so natural to me. Each believer, I'm sure, will go through the same procedure when he or she goes to heaven.
After that, he took me to heaven 16 more times. Each time he took me there, he showed me different things. And when he showed me special things, always he was saying that, I prepare this for my children. I know what they like. Like when he showed me beach, you see, daughter, how beautiful this beach is. I know my children like this beach. And when he took me to fishing, I know my children like fishing. That's why I prepared so many things what they like. And I realized in heaven is a thousand times beautiful than on earth, but a lot of things like on earth, like roads, buildings, trees, bushes, rocks, flowers, rough places outside the kingdom. It's just so many things there. But they are oftentimes beautiful on earthly things. It's beautiful. The beauty of heaven is indescribable. And I can't even describe how beautiful they are. Just beautiful. And I realized how much Jesus loves each and every one of us. The way he talked to me was saying that, you see how much I love my children. And I did all this thing for my children. That's why he took me there to show what he prepared for his children. So let each and every one of us know what heaven is waiting for us. So before he comes, he wants all the Christians to know these things. So they can be excited. Go there. That's why I believe he showed me these things. He doesn't tell me everything, you know, thoroughly. He just showed me some certain things to just say very few words, necessary words, he tells me. Loving God he is. Praise the Lord.
Besides experiencing heaven, Chu was also shown hell twice. On this, she writes, I could see fumes of dark smoke rising from a deep pit. It was like the crater of a volcano, and inside I could see flames scorching a multitude of people who were screaming and crying in the kind of agony that only the severely burned truly knew. The people were naked, without hair, and standing close to one another, moving like worms, and the flames were scorching their bodies. There was no escape from those who were captured in the pit. Its walls were too deep for them to climb, and the hot coals of fire were all around the edges. Even though the Lord did not tell me this, I knew I was standing at the brink of hell.
In heaven, whatever he showed me, it was such exciting things and awesome things. But next, he showed me hell. He took me to hell. The first thing I seen inside was all fire, but it was deep, dark, endless hole. People were naked, no hair. They didn't have no hair, they didn't have no clothes, and all naked body. They were standing so close to each other. Seems like they were pushing each other against them because they wanted to get away from fire. Each time they move, the fire followed them. Back and forth, back and forth. This whole place was fire. These people were standing so close to each other. It looked so pain and sad. And I couldn't help crying so much for them. Then he took it a second time. And I saw same people again. Then I heard the voices, and I looked at the direction. So many Orientals there. And this one lady, she was waving at me, saying, "So hot, so hot." I looked at her, and our eyes met each other. That was my mother. When I realized it was my mother, my heart dropped, and I began to cry. I have never felt such a pain. Just a pain. So pain, I didn't know what to do. And she kept saying, "Hot, hot," and she was waving at me. And then, the way I seen it, she wanted me to come down and help her. Then, I looked. Other people. There was my dad, my stepmother, my young nephew. He died very young. And two friends that I knew. Oh, that was such painful memory. And I keep crying, crying, crying. And Lord, Jesus told me, "Daughter, I have a good reason to show you this. But I am hurting more than you are." And I told him, "Lord, my mother, she died young. She has been sick for a very long time. I don't think she was a bad person." He said, "No matter how good people they are, whoever don't know me, that's the only place to go." But in my heart saying, "Why you are showing me this to hurt me this way?" I thought about that, but I could have never angry at him. I couldn't see his face, but I could have tell he was crying with me. I just felt that. He looked so sad. Then he touched my head, took my hand. We walked out there, and I was crying the whole time we were walking. Well, in the book explained the very details. So then, next visiting, he showed me another sad thing. It was aborted baby. He took me to this one place. There was a huge building. It looked like a warehouse. When we walked in, all I see was a baby. Tiny, tiny naked babies. And they were lying side by side. And then I began to cry. "Lord, why is so many babies?" He said, "They are aborted babies." I said, "What are you going to do with them?" He said, "If their mother be saved and they come to heaven, they will have their baby back."
On her 17th trip to heaven, Jesus told Chu that this would be her last trip there. On this, she writes, "His words stirred me deeply. My heart actually ached with the love for my Lord. He stood up, and I knew it was time for us to leave. I continued to cry, but my heart was reassured with the knowledge that I would be with the Lord forever, and that He would always be with me on earth. At the dressing room, an angel of the Lord embraced me. It was so exhilarating to be in a place where so much love, compassion, and understanding were always present. As I changed my clothing, I surmised that both Abraham and the angel knew this would be my last trip to heaven. As I walked out of the changing room, the angel hugged me once more. This angel had blonde hair, flowing white robes, and a face that was tender and warm. The angel smiled at me as I walked towards the Lord."
when the Lord Jesus took me to heaven 17th time, He showed me clouds. And that was the end of my visitation in heaven. The Lord Jesus told me, this is the last time you are here. I will not bring you here until last day. I just felt I knew this. That was the last day. And I began to cry because I didn't want to leave there. I was holding his arm. I said, Lord, please don't let me go. I don't want to go. Because I want to come here over and over. It was very, very sad for me that I couldn't go there anymore. Because each time I went with him in heaven, I saw sad things, but joy, peace, I can never explain. Never can explain the joy, peace I had. Even sad, I still had the joy, peace. So much love. I cried many days for that.
The Bible talks about a day when Jesus Christ will come again for His church. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16, it reads, "For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. This is known as the rapture."
After all that, about a couple of weeks later, Lord Jesus, He brought me to the beach with my spirit body and His. And we sat the usual place. Then we talked for a while. He told me, "I will show you something." The minute He said that, I had a vision voice. Every time He shows me something special, I get a special vision voice. It's coming in my inner body, stomach. It was so loud. And this vision voice took a very long time. Then I could hear noises, such loud noises. I felt whole world was coming down, so loud, just horrible noise. Then I looked, whole air was white. People with white robe flying everywhere. Just keep popping up, just disappear, popping up, just filled with air, with the people. Then I knew there was rapturing. I was laughing, crying, screaming, so excited. Then I saw my granddaughter. She's only 10 months old. She didn't have no hair. Suddenly she flew out of the window from inside the room. Then, with the white robe, and her hair came down to the shoulder. You can imagine how excited I was. Then next minute, I saw my other granddaughter. She was only 4 months old. She didn't have no hair. She flew out to the window, same as the other one, with the white robe, and her hair too came down to her shoulder. I was screaming, crying, laughing, exciting so much. Just I never excited that much before. Just excited. Whole house could hear. Good thing my husband wasn't home. If he was home, he really did something wrong with me. After that, God showed me a different scene. This scene was a very sad one. It was horrible.
The Bible also talks about a time of great distress soon after the rapture. In Matthew 24, verses 21 to 22, Jesus said, "For then there will be great distress, unequal from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. This is known as the Great Tribulation."
Well, after that, Lord Jesus showed me another vision. That was people left behind. I believe among them are a lot of Christians. That's why they were running, right? If they weren't Christians, they weren't running, you know. But the police were everywhere. People were everywhere. And they just running, scared, and panicked face. Going to the car, going to the boat, running to the mount. They just don't know where to go. Just like, you know, they were chased by, you know, monster or something. So scary and horrible scene that was. And after that, Lord Jesus, he told me that what you've seen just now is nothing compared to what will happen that day come. And after that, he told me, all my people are raptured. Satan will take over this world. And he want everybody to receive his number 666. Then anyone who refuses to receive it, they will be beheaded. So whoever don't want to receive the marks of beast number 666, they give their heart to Jesus. They want to be with him forever. Revelation 24. And then whoever receives marks of beast number 666, they all will thrown into the lakes of fire forever, ever. They will be burning there for day and night, no resting. Revelation 14:11. So, everybody should know about these things. And remember, wanted to be beheaded, it will not each way. They will be tortured so much before they was being beheaded. Because Satan will not allow them to give in easily. Whoever heard this message, please, if you are not have a close relationship with our Lord Jesus, please do something about your salvation. Also, if you are left behind, no matter what it costs, don't ever take the marks of beast number 666. It's better to be suffered for a while than suffer in the hell forever, ever burning in the fire. And please take it seriously what I'm saying.
The book, Heaven is So Real, is currently being translated into many different languages and being distributed all over the world. There's also an MP3 version of this book, which can be downloaded online.
Well, the book is doing great. And this book is international bestseller. The law used Dr. Yonggi Cho for this book, and he translated this book. It took him about 2 months to translate. Usually takes about 6-7 months. So the day book was printed and it exploded in Korea and it's number one bestseller there. And the Almighty God using Dr. Yonggi Cho such an awesome way. He has almost 800,000 members in his church. So God is using him for this book. He chose him for this book. Praise the Lord. And the book is our Lord Jesus' end time book. He wants all the Christians to read this book and witness to others. And that's what lots of people are doing. When they buy one book, they buy dozens, they buy hundreds, and they say, this is the best witnessing tool, it's the Bible. And then I receive so many emails. I don't have any time for my own anymore. And especially when I receive emails from little young children, about 12 or 13 years old, they are saying they are so much in love with this book. They love Jesus, they call this Jesus book. You know, they are transformed by book. Some of them saying, I should quit the school and do God's work. I said, don't ever quit the school. You have to study, you know. God wants you to have education. That's why I tell them, you know. But whatever you do, put the God first, I say. You know. When I answer their emails, they are so happy. You know, thousands of lives are changing with this book. Because it's Jesus' book. And he prepared all his promise for this book. From beginning to end, he told me, well, he will take care of everything. From the beginning to end, I told him, you know, well, I was very worried of many things, you know. Then he told me, why are you worried? This is my book. I will take care of it. Always he told me that. But he has been taking care of everything. From beginning to end, whoever read this book, they know this is Jesus' book. And he did take care of everything. So, all his promise for this book he prepared. Now, only thing left is my dancing ministry. He trained my dancing ministry. This is holy dance for 3 years. Then I danced at the church for 2 years. Now almost 3.5 years I'm waiting on it. Waiting is the hardest for serving God. You know, I had to wait 7 years before he published the book. Sometimes even I thought he ever published this book. But he fulfilled his words, you see.
At the end of her heavenly trips, Jesus makes a very special promise to True Thomas.
Well, the end of the visitation was after I took care of the manuscript of the book. Then he brought me to the Altala Beach. And we spent about a couple of hours. He told me he would bring me there every Monday. That was May 27, 1996. Ever since, he never missed once. He bring me there every Monday with my transformed body. He wake me up about few minutes after 12 o'clock every Monday morning. He shakes my body for 30 minutes, exactly 30 minutes. Never less, never more. Then his presence shows. And his spirit body, my spirit body. Then we go to the beach. And when we go there, you know, he talks mostly. I listen. Then I sing, I dance with my spirit body. And this is the best time of my life right now.
According to the scriptures, the reason why Jesus died on the cross is because of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Therefore, according to Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Well, I heard so many people saying, "Well, who cares if I die?" Hey, like that. You know? Then I said, "You better care after you die." You know. This was what I was witnessing. If you die, you only go to two places, either heaven and hell. He said, "Hey, who cares after I die?" You know. They talk like they don't know anything after they die. I say, "You better care after you die. Because why? Even you die, your body dies. Your spirit soul will never die. That's why you can remember, you can pain, happy, joy, everything. Just like when you were alive." So they still don't believe it. Huh? Just they get angry at me. I say, "I hope someday you will remember what I'm saying. Do you know Jesus?" They say, "I know God." I say, "Well, Jesus is a God. He's a Father. He's the Holy Spirit. He's all. If you don't know Jesus, you knowing God, that's not going to take you to heaven." I just talk. They don't hear most of these people. I just tell them, "Well, you don't want to believe it now. I hope someday you will believe it." And I talk. No matter what, they don't want to accept the salvation package. You know what I say? I say, "Okay, you don't want to accept this salvation package, it's fine. But one day you will know all the God's people be raptured. Then you will know what I'm saying right now. But I ask you to, that time comes, never to receive the number 666. If you receive that, you're going to be burning in hell forever, ever, ever. So please, please don't receive the number 666. Would you please remember?" You know, some of them say, "Okay." I say this to many, many people. Anyone who has never prayed a salvation prayer before, I would like to pray. Please repeat after me. "Lord Jesus, I believe you are Son of God, and you died for me. Please come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. And I ask you to forgive me all of my sins and cleanse me with your precious blood. Taking control of every area of my life from this moment on. Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit and empower me to be used for your glory. I want to serve you, love you, obey you all the days of my life and make a difference in life's fathers. Father, thank you, making me your child. In Jesus' holy name, amen." Hallelujah. Anyone prayed, just pray with me. Please, go to church. Listen to the Word of God from pastors. And read the Bible every day. Study it. Pray many times a day. And have a relationship with Jesus. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah.
On behalf of True Thomas's Ministry, thank you for watching our show. In heaven is so real. Jesus said that he's coming back for his church sooner than we think. So get ready and let's give our God all the praise.